Okay. Hey, guys, it is season five of the Wrestling Legends podcast. Crazy to think some of the names we've had on the show over the years, but personal favorite of mine today, you guys remember La Resistance? Such a huge hit back in the day. Welcome to the show, Renee.
It's a pleasure to finally be able to get on here with much headaches and technologies driving me crazy. You know
Yeah.
what? It's the fans get on me about, hey, you need a new microphone, you need a new microphone. So I buy this freaking thing, spend thousands of dollars on it, and then I plug it in, and then I can't even have an interview with you because it cuts out your audio. So it's like,
It's unbelievable, right? That's all right though. You know, there's a workaround to everything, and I think we found it. So listen, I try to keep my questions 100% factual. I don't just pluck stuff off the internet. But
yes, sir.
I read a few things which, if are, you know, I'm pretty sure are true, are actually really cool about your life growing up. Your father was in the business, correct?
Yeah, man.
So
My
how much did that inspire
father
you to get
just
into
passed.
it?
Yeah, he just passed away in September, age
Sorry.
of 86. He was about to turn 87. He started wrestling at the age of 17. He got trained by a bunch of local, because back then it was very carnival. You know, the carnival would come to town and local wrestlers would, you know, it'd be a carny show, right?
Sure.
So, because my father worked out with weights and was a young, good-looking kid, they just took a liking to him and they trained him on the beach. They just showed him, and basically it took 2 hours and showed him a few holds and whatever. And then, like at the age of 18, man, he had a local show in the area, and an American promoter saw him. And the American promoter's name was Tony Santos from Boston. And that's actually the same place where Pat Patterson got his American, like, broke into the United
Sure.
States. So, you know, a difference between Pat and my dad is Pat had a family to buy him a Greyhound ticket. My father had to hitchhike.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So 1956, he's that's well, 55 is when he had his first matches, but 56 is when he started in the United States. And yeah, man, he had a great career, ran his own promotion, Atlantic Grand Prix Wrestling, for 14 years, 15 years. We had a television show, and then I grew up in the wrestling business. That's why I'm a little different, you know.
You know, the funny thing too, it's you were so young, right? And it's just it's an older guy's business at times, but you were so young, but you got signed to this contract at OVW at such an early age. And for you fans out there who aren't hip to it, OVW was like a precursor to NXT. A lot of people now are really big into the NXT. OVW is actually where that really came from. You know, you look at a lot of guys like John Cena, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. On and on down the line that came out of that program. How
Yeah.
much did that help you? You know, having that learning ground and not having to be on, you know, major television right off the bat.
Well, it helped me with television because that was the only aspect that I had never experienced was television. Because my dad had his own promotion and he ran 7 nights a week. So, like, when I was 15, from May 1st to September 7th, I wrestled every day. So 128 days, I think that is, that adds up in a row. And plus, he would run, like, I'd be like in a second match, and then at the end, it'd be like a six-man tag or a battle royal. So I was getting 2 matches a night experience, so 14 matches a week. And sometimes he'd run double shots, like Sundays that have an afternoon matinee and then a nighttime show. So sometimes 16 matches in a week, which nowadays some guys are lucky to get 16 matches a year, you
Yeah.
know. But OVW really helped me to learn about TV, camera angles, microphone talking, how to sell yourself. You know, I wasn't there very long though. I was only there for about 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it was a short stint, you know, but they bring you up to the WWE, the main roster, as everybody calls it, La Resistance. Who came up with that? I get it. I understand you're not American, but I mean, still, who came up with the actual, this is what we're gonna do? Because to me as a fan, like, I think we somehow got to a point where we needed to stop with the whole gimmick of, hey, if you're not from America, you're evil. But
Right.
and again, like that's what they did. So
But it
why did that
always
come?
works. It's
Yeah.
just the easiest thing. I mean, what got Hulk Hogan over? It was, you know, battling
Iron
the Iron
Sheik.
Sheik,
Yeah.
right? That's something that Vince McMahon, even his father, would always go, like, you know, Bruno Sammartino was Vince McMahon Sr.'s top draw. And, there was a high Italian population. So you put, Italian against whatever guy that doesn't like Italy, like a Texan or something, whatever. It worked, So, in this case, it was happening in real life because 9/11 had just hit, and the United States is trying to get all these different countries to form a, come on, let's get together and get these assholes. And their friends are like, oh, no, we feel so sorry for you, but we do what we do. And then the Americans are losing their mind, they're calling French fries freedom fries, and they're like, just going crazy. So here's two French guys, myself and Sylvain, sitting in OVW. It worked. Take
Perfect
advantage
fit.
of it.
You guys had the look too, right? And that's the thing. You had the look. Like Iron Sheik was a built like a badass. And guys, I know you've seen videos of him recently before he passed away, but trust me, you mentioned Iron Sheik, and way back in the day, he was jacked. Even Nikolai Volkov was jacked. And you were cut. So you looked chiseled, So it made you more fierce, right? It wasn't just like, hey, we're gonna root against this guy because he's from, he's French. No, we're gonna root against this guy because he looks like a badass and he could probably do some damage. So that's why, to me, I feel like it worked. So
It's
I'm gonna,
like 50% of the battle, my father always told me, was the look.
yeah.
If you're walking down the street or walking down the beach, more importantly, are you gonna turn heads? You know what I mean?
He's
Because
right.
he's right. Because if you're back in the old days, they used to promote with posters. You put posters on your shops, shop walls. And if you're walking down the street and you see a guy, are you going to do this, or are you going to go, I can take that guy? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? It's
But
the look, right?
absolutely. No, you're 100% right. Your dad was on the money. I'm going to combine two questions here.
Yes,
So,
sir.
just because we're kind of running a little bit low on time, but why do you feel you received such a huge push right out of the gate? And here's why I'm going to preface this, okay? Because right off the rip, they put you against Test and Scott Steiner, two guys who were kind of in the middle ground there. You guys beat them right away. And then within a month, you had a title shot against a veteran team like the Dudley Boys, who, in my personal opinion, are probably one of the top 10 greatest tag teams of all time. And you guys beat them for the titles. I mean, it was such a major push right off the bat.
Well,
Why do you feel that?
that's how hot the gimmick was. And to me, that was one of the, well, there's been other great tag teams and combinations, but as far as like an evil foreign tag team, that's one of the last ones, because it was a real world thing, right?
Yeah.
Politically, there's a lot of politics in wrestling. My partner happened to be Pat Patterson's very good friend. And let's just say, as in life,
Yeah.
it's all who you know, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and like we said, we don't want to bash anybody. I'll ask you
No.
this question, though, about the Dudley Boys, because you guys were young, right? And they're this team that's been established for a while. How were they to work with in the ring? Were they rough? Were they stiff? Or were they just unbelievable professional?
Devon, yes. Bubba, oh Jesus. Well, he's one of those guys that maybe he was a bully, right? He was a bully, and you take a guy like the way he looks, and he probably didn't get very many offers to go out on dates and stuff. And then when he's wrestling guys like myself and Sylvain, who, let's just say, we have no problem getting a date for a Saturday night, there might be some resentment there, right? So, but no, to me, I thought some of the biggest memories of my career are with the Dudley Boys, because I mean, I think we were in Sydney, Australia, when you had guys like Flair versus Shawn Michaels on the card, but it's La Résistance versus the Dudley Boys main eventing the sold out 40,000 seat arena. You know what I mean? At 19 years old, that's a rush, brother.
I can't even imagine. So how did Robert Conway get into the picture? Because it just seemed like that came out of nowhere.
That was because me and Sylvain back then could not stand each other. Like we, yeah. And friend, the gimmick was doing so good, so hot. Sly wasn't experienced enough to do anything by himself, so they brought in Rob. And it was great for Rob because great for Rob to have both of us because Rob went with Sylvain and their push continued, and I went singles, and that's how hot the gimmick, the French gimmick was, because they went on to being the French Canadians from Montreal. I kept being the French guy, but I went on to work with John Cena, and we all know what I, you know, we all know what happened to him, right? His boom, his career, you know, propelled, but some of those paychecks is the reason why that I don't have to work very hard at 40 years old.
You know, it's funny too, guys, because we are in two different places. I am in Cleveland, Ohio. He is far, far away from me, but he just literally took my next question. So I was actually going to bring that up. You went on a singles push after that, a little bit after that. I have written down May of 04. And by the way, we're the same age, so I think that's kind of cool. That has nothing to do with
Yeah.
anything. Just throwing it out there for you.
Awesome,
anyways, but listen, you know, you're like a year into your main run, and they again singles push all of a sudden with a guy like John Cena. And I mean, be truthful here. Like at that time, did you know like shit, like this guy's got it? Like I could see this guy just taking off like a rocket, or was it just another person you shared a ring with?
No, well, you knew you had it, especially when they enforced the rule that everybody had to wear BizCaz except for John. Everybody would be fined $500 if they were caught not wearing like slacks and a dress shirt and suit and tie, except John. So that was Vince's way of saying, okay, this is my guy. And you would hear rumors like there'd be writing meetings, and Vince would get there, it's like a segment one something, and they throw everything away. All right, what's John Cena doing? And it was like that for a good decade, like that's all I care about. It's with
I can
John.
understand it. I can understand it. I mean, I was a big fan of his. I still am.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. So, have it here though, you know, basically, okay, so here's the thing with me. All right. So I played sports in high school, college, all that stuff. I look at wrestling as a very athletic thing. Okay. Like that is why I follow it. That is why, you know, our website's called Key On Sports. It's not called Key On Entertainment. I like it for the athletic part of it. So with you had that look, okay? You look like an athletic guy. You could do the moves in the ring. You had charisma, and then they stick you with a gimmick. And this is something I'm not particularly you, but I spoke to Al Snow about a little while back of when somebody can make a gimmick their own, even when it's outrageous. They gave you the French tickler. Did you take that as like an insult? Like what the hell? Like
It was my
wow.
idea. No, it
Okay,
was
then
my
can
idea,
you explain
and
how
I
you came
took
up
it.
with it? Because I would love to hear the story.
Remember Rick the Model Martel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, go watch his old stuff and you'll see him do it. I
Oh,
copied
yeah,
it.
you're 100% right.
What's old is new again. And at that point, you had this that was getting over. You had the fucking, people's, this shit, something to make you stand out, and I did the little French tickler. Cristiano Ronaldo, you ever hear him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, well, yeah, he did this is back in 2009, a year after I had left the WWE. He had hit kicked in a field goal, and he actually did the French tickler after getting a field goal. Yeah. So when you reach that point, it's like, okay, you're getting over, right?
I
Yeah.
mean, you did that, and then they gave you a talk show. It lasts like 2 weeks, but it was like I saw them saying, "Okay, this is the guy we want to work with. We want to do stuff with." You know, I always looked at that as positive things. You know, you mentioned John Cena. I'm gonna throw out another guy who, as a fan, I understand the gimmick and I appreciate how long he lasted. But it's hard sometimes to step back and realize there's a person behind that gimmick. That's a guy like The Undertaker, because as a fan, all we see is The Undertaker. But, you know, working with him, the person, what kind of locker room leader was he? Because we've heard so many good things about how he was. Was that something you had to experience at all?
Yeah, I mean, he tried to keep that old school mentality. I mean, to an extent, to me, a real old school locker room leader wouldn't let heels and baby faces go out together in a town that we're working. You know what I mean? So yeah, he had old school tendies to him, but not like old school that I got brought up in. Like, for example, like when I was when I first got brought in, if one of the older wrestlers would hear about me hanging out, because I was a baby face when I was first started, if one of the older wrestlers heard about me hanging out with a heel in town, brother, that wouldn't If I wasn't the promoter's son, I would have been fired. Same thing like going to OVW under Jim Cornette. He would have his referees go out and see if there was baby faces and heels scouring the bars, seeing if they were hanging out together. If they would get fucking fined. And if they weren't that big on the chopping block, they might get fired too. So that, you know, because that was the school way of doing things, right? But no, Taker, yeah, I nothing positive, nothing negative to say, you know. But I didn't have that much time around them to. We never really developed a strong bondship. Let's put it that way.
You know, I'm going to go off script here. I got a couple of questions left, and I'm actually going to ask you one that I did not write down.
Okay.
But you brought up Jim Cornette's name, and it makes me think of something. So two things. Like, one, they have these documentaries on, I think it's the A&E station, and I think they're excellent. You could tell that they've done their homework. They don't stray away from anything. Like, they talk about their career. It's great. There's another show on TV, though, called The Dark Side of the Ring, right? And Jim Cornette's a regular on that thing. I watch that show, and sometimes I'm like, hey, this is really good. I just learned a ton of stuff I never knew about this particular individual. And sometimes I feel like they're grasping for straws. I'm just asking you from one person to another person. Have you seen the show? And if so, what do you think about it? I'm just curious as to how wrestlers, people who have been in the business, take a show like that.
As a fan who likes to know the insides, it's appealing. But we've, how do you, this is one of Cornette's lines, how do you put the toothpaste back in the tube? Or, you
No,
know,
you don't.
when the cowboys left the barn on that one, you know,
Yeah.
or the cow, no, the cows left the cow, no, wait, the horses left the barn on that one, cowboy. The horse ain't coming back, he's gone. So, but the thing is, you can still, sometimes it's like it's embarrassing to because just to go the way that I was raised, that well, you didn't really have to tell them how we do that. And you know, and there's some guys there that have YouTube channels, and I love them to death, but they're telling how do we make a blade and how we get blood and shit. And even though some of the wrestlers are so fuck it, they suck and they don't know how to do it right, and they're on worldwide television, and there they are, fucking the world's. They're showing what how we do it, you know what I mean? And it's embarrassing, and it makes you mad as a pro because at one time, my father, my family depended on this business to eat, you know. And then luckily he invested in real estate, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. But you know, when you come to this business, now everybody has these guaranteed contracts and stuff, and which is great. It's great that the business has got to that point, but. The bad part is that the guys will do crazy stunts, and if they break their neck, well, that's okay. They're on a guaranteed contract, and this guy will, you know, get paid for whatever, how long. But guess what? He's not going to pay for the rest of your life. That contract's going to come to an end. But guess what? That broken neck, that's going to come back to haunt you. And in the United States, insurance is only going to get more expensive, boys and girls.
Yeah, as a father of two,
Yes.
I have a spouse, I know it well. You know, someone's always
Yeah.
sick. It's ridiculous. You know, it's funny you say that too. I'm gonna go off the script one more time because I did
Sure.
not have this one written down. But you know, you've gone through different eras of pro wrestling, okay? There was when we're the same age. So you go through when we were a little kid of the hokiness, but we loved it with Hulk Hogan's and Macho Man's and Ultimate Warriors and the more character based to the ruthless aggression era. And when you were there though, okay. I always pictured it as Monday Night Raw was where they had the big names, okay, and more of the storylines, where SmackDown was a brand with unbelievable matches with Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle and Edge and on down the line. Like, I love SmackDown for the wrestling aspect. Which one did you enjoy working on more?
Raw.
Really?
Yeah. Raw just because it was Raw was the A show at that point in time. You know, now some people might say that SmackDown is the A show. Because it's on a bigger network. I don't know.
No.
What do you think? I don't really watch enough of it, even though I should, because I have a podcast and I tried and it lasted about 2 months. I tried. Jesus. You can only take so much, man.
No,
Much.
I hate podcasts. So and I realize the irony around one right now, but
Right.
to me, it's because everybody has one. We are a written website. So we 99% of our content, no joke, is written, either written articles or we broadcast games. So high school sports here in Northeast Ohio are huge. I do this in the springtime right now when nothing else is going on, quite frankly. This is when I start, searching up and say who can we have on the show this year and do some podcast. I'm not podcast guy, like in but people live on that shit because they think everything they hear, and look at me, I'm like, who am I, right? Anybody could have a damn podcast,
Right.
So it's like, how do I know this guy's not full of shit? So anyway, I'm not even gonna go off on that tangent. A couple questions left for you here. This weekend,
Yes.
WrestleMania.
Yes.
What do you think they do with a guy like Roman Reigns, who has kind of topped off completely, right? He's almost hit every mountaintop he had to hit, but
Right.
he's so close to surpassing the reign of Hulk Hogan of how many days he's champion. But at
Right.
the same time, you got a guy like Cody Rhodes, who at this point in his career, I don't know if this guy could be any hotter than he is right now. You don't know when it's going to cool off. The fans will eventually turn because they always do. It's right there. So let's say you are the guy on that making that booking decision. Who do you book to win this and why?
Well, first of all, you got to think long term. You got to think, okay, where are we going for the next year, 2 years? Is Roman Reigns the guy that we want for the next year, or is it going to be Cody? You know what I mean? That's thinking long term. I don't know how they think now. I don't know who, I guess it's Triple H, right? He's the guy with the booking creativity and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know his mindset. I didn't spend enough time around him either. I don't know what he thinks of. I know he hung around with Flair a lot. Flair hung around with him a lot, either or, but personally, I think they're gonna stick it with Roman. Maybe I think that's where they see dollar signs. But then again, maybe what's the whole stories thing? His
Basically,
story.
The Rock's back. So yeah, it's Cody Rhodes wanting to win the title for his dad, obviously Dusty Rhodes, wanting to do that, complete the story, win the belt that his dad never could. Which, I mean, I gotta tell you, it's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm close to my dad. Obviously, you were close with your dad. Like, I love the gimmick of that, but at the same time, it's like Roman Reigns is so ridiculously over. It's insane. And you have The Rock with him now, and it's one of those things. Did you
And I
ever meet
think
him?
The Rock, he owns a percentage of
Yes.
the actual company, right?
Oh
Like
yeah.
TK or Endeavor.
Yep.
And you know how much influence he has. Have you seen the inductees into the Hall of Fame?
Little ridiculous, but I'm not gonna hit
As
stupid
he's got
stomach.
a lot of say.
I'm kind
Let's
of pissed
just
off
say
about some of
he
this.
has enough power that he can hire and fire you too. So, I mean, that's the way I
Listen.
know. But as a fan, it's kind of like, you know what? I like to sit because I'm gonna watch it on my Patreon, Catherine and Renee Patreon, everybody. You guys can sit there with me and watch it and yell at the TV with me if you feel free. I don't have the link up here, but there is one. Look it up. $5 a month.
I'll put it in there.
It's two nights, right? This yeah,
Yeah.
two nights. And the first night is it's Roman and The Rock tagging against Cody and who? Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the main event for night two?
Roman versus Cody for the belt.
Oh,
Working twice in a weekend.
good. It's good. It's
Yeah.
good. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I just want to sit back and watch it like a fan.
Well,
But I think that's a part that killed it for me. Trying to predict and analyze and just, just sit back and enjoy the show.
dissect. Can you tell when they're going home in a match? Can you be like, okay, here's the finish right now? Like, because a lot of times that one, two, no, you kicked out. Like, do you know?
I have been right in the past, usually. But now they got new guys that are in there, and I think they got some new agents not saying that they're not good.
Right.
I'm just saying that I'm better.
Yeah. So,
Oh,
last question for you, and then I do want you to plug all your social media one more time. But
yeah.
last question, and this is one we were texting back and forth a little bit there on the Facebook thing. Why did you leave WWE? Like, what was it where you're like, you know what, I'm done?
I had two years left in my contract. I had developed a substance abuse issue with opioids, like millions of other Americans have. A lot of my friends are no longer with us, you know. And I got out. Yeah, this is a funny story. I got out of rehab. I drive to Dallas because they were taping Monday Night Raw and Saturday Night's main event that day, right? As soon as Vince sees me, they call up Paul London to drive from Austin to Dallas. As soon as Vince sees me, because he wants to put me on Saturday Night main event and wrestle Paul. But here, Vince is such, he's so anal about stuff. It's kind of a weird term to use with all the stuff we know now about Vince, but
Oh,
he didn't like the gear I was wearing, sorry, X-Nit. But during the day, that day, Brian Hendricks sat with me. He goes, "Renee, I heard a rumor that you're starting on Monday Night Raw real soon." See, they would purposely do that. Like, they'd send a referee over to let you know, like, what's going on in the future.
yep.
So even knowing that I was going to debut on Raw, even though I still had 2 years left on my deal, I still asked for my release just to go to Japan for a year. But once I got to Japan, I fell in love with the place. I met my wife, who I've been married to for 15 years. I was actually re-signed in 2011. I had signed a 5-year deal, seven figure deal, but they couldn't get the paperwork to get my green card in order because I had some problems with the law. So everything happens for a reason, dude. I don't go on and brag about it, but I've had several chances to go back there over the years. Now at 40, it's probably too late, but it was actually a couple of years ago I had an offer to go to the Royal Rumble. To have a spot in the Royal Rumble. Now at 40, am I still worth the investment? I don't know. Do I really want to be around those people? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
It's supposed to be a different culture now.
it's a different culture. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more of the bullshit that there was back then. It's a laid back. You'll go to work and actually be happy going to work. You're supposed to in
What a
life.
concept. Yeah.
Right, yeah, you don't have to worry about somebody defecating your bag or doing stupid shit to you or purposely breaking your nose in a match or kicking out your teeth,
JBL notorious for that. I was always told by other wrestlers that JBL kind of had some issues with bullying people. Told Joey Styles got up and punched him in the face.
yeah, he was there for a point in time just to entertain his buddy Taker, and they went to that's an old school mentality, right? It's
Yeah.
like. Anyway, but one good thing that did come out of my run there was Cafe de Renee. So if you can zoom in on that,
Yo.
right there is my YouTube channel, and that's been keeping the lights on for me for the last oh shit, the last 2 years. So we're growing and growing and growing, and you can tune in there on every Monday at 6 p.m. And we also have a Patreon, Cafe de Renee Patreon, which you can sign up and watch along pay-per-views like we're gonna do this Saturday and Saturday Sunday, right? WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're gonna do both nights. We're gonna watch along with the fans, and we also have extra goodies there. Extra people show up on our Patreon to do like shoot type interviews, and it's a lot of fun. You got any more questions for me before we bid you adieu? What I mean.
No, I'll tell you what. You just took my last question. I was going to ask you to plug your show, which you just did. Yeah, and the guys, I'm just going to throw this out here. I mean, he's very approachable. Make sure your business, like, you know what I mean? And then when I reach out to professional wrestlers or athletes of any kind, I almost feel like, hey, I gotta show this person immediately. I'm not some hack. I'm not some mark who came out of nowhere, tracked you down on a social media thing. To me, that was important. So thank you for replying and not being a dick. I appreciate that very much. So maybe we'll talk to you again soon. But in the time being, thanks again for coming on the show and just enjoy your weekend, man. And thank you.
And I wish you nothing but the best with all your endeavors, brother. Be safe. And thank you for having me on.
I
Okay.
appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome, brother. Look, balloons. Look at
Hey,
that.
technology at its best, right?
Hey. Okay, brother.
Take care.